Now let us pray that God will help us understand this passage we've read. Lord, as we come to this passage, we want to say that we are people who are naturally blind when it comes to understanding the words of God. So we pray that you will show your light into our hearts so that we may understand this passage. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the people said, Amen. So this is the letter to the Philippians, and the letter to the Philippians was written by a guy by the name of Apostle Paul to a church at Philippi in Macedonia in the first century AD. So being an apostle, Paul is a pastor like me, and he's a pastor who starts churches and encourages them. So now Paul is imprisoned in Rome. And he writes this letter to encourage the church at Philippi. Paul is one of the people who started this church in Philippi. Now, the leadership team of this church at Philippi initially worked well together. However, as time goes on, different personalities and different ways of doing things get in the way. And eventually, there is division and misunderstanding at the church at Philippi. Of the Philippians. So at the end of this letter, Paul asks two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, to be reconciled to each other, and he asks a fellow worker to try to bring them together. Why do I say all this? I say all this because as I go on through life, I find that conflict is a very normal part of life. All you have to do is put two people in a room together and you have conflict. How do I define conflict? Conflict is having a difference of opinion, because we all have differences of opinion. And right from an early stage, and it took me a while to understand this, that when we go on through life, the purpose is not to avoid conflict, but to embrace conflict as a natural part of life. We understand that as human beings, we all have differences of opinions with each other. And so once we embrace conflict as a normal part of life, when conflict occurs in our everyday lives, we try to resolve the conflict or manage the conflict in our lives. And I think that if we try to deny the conflict, it ends up being worse. So it's better to embrace the conflict and work out the resolution towards it. When I was about 7 years old, growing up in Malaysia, my mother made sure that we memorized Bible verses before we went to bed at night. And two of the Bible verses that Mom got my brother and me to memorize when we were 7 years old is found in this passage. And when my mother got me to memorize these verses as a seven-year-old boy, I didn't pay attention. I was more interested in football, or as you would call it, soccer here. Okay? I just memorized the words, and I didn't really explore what it meant. But later on, as I grew up, I began to realize that these two verses helped me as I dealt with conflict in my life. And they helped me in two directions. Firstly, these verses showed me how to be humble, because I believe that it is a virtue, a value of life to be humble, not to be a proud and stubborn person. And the second thing that these verses taught me is that even if you disagree with a person and you talk to them, you got to show them respect. You can't just brush them off. And so, if you don't mind reading with me these two verses that my mother taught me, okay? And it's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let's read it together. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So there you have it. And in the version that I studied as a child, it said, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain glory. vain glory. And I think that's probably what this verse taught me. I mean, this verse is not saying don't have respect for yourself. You know, put yourself down all the time and you mean nothing in this world. No. I think that Paul is saying to you, you can have self-respect, but don't show off. Don't show off. And it's okay to have ambition in your life, but don't just have ambition for yourself. Have ambition for yourself, your community, your church, your school, your scouts troop. Be ambitious. Yeah, but don't be so selfishly ambitious. Be ambitious for yourself and for everyone around you. And then, of course, this verse says, value others. Show respect to others. Look to the interests of others. Don't be selfish. So these are all very high relational ideals to have. Who can model these ideals for us? So Paul now tells the church at Philippi, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus because he's the ultimate model of what it means to be humble, to show respect to others. And so therefore, Paul says, look at Jesus. So in verse 5, he says this, in your relationships with one another, have this same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then he proceeds to show us how Jesus is a model of humility and showing respect. Who likes Christmas? Anybody? Anybody? Yes, all these people are... No, I'm not going to say that because the point I'm trying to make here is I like Christmas too. But sometimes when we can have a little bit too much of Christmas because what comes to mind is family dinners and Christmas presents. And these are all good, okay? Don't get me wrong. What a great time. But the original meaning of Christmas is to celebrate someone's birthday. Can anyone tell me why we celebrate Christmas? Whose birthday it is we celebrate at Christmas? Yes? Jesus' birthday. You're correct. We celebrate Jesus' birthday on December the 25th. I just want to let you in on a secret, if I can. Don't tell anyone this. Jesus wasn't really born on December 25th. Okay? I thought I'd set that truth for the record. Okay? Because before Christianity became the official religion of Rome, the early Christians celebrated the birth of Jesus during the time at the end of December when the Romans celebrated a winter festival. And because the Christian faith was illegal then, as they celebrated this winter festival, they celebrated the birth of Jesus. So, for the early Christians, it wasn't so much when Jesus was born, but why. Why Jesus was born. For the early Christians, the Christians who lived in the first century, the miracle was that God, the God who created the whole world, becomes a human being and is born in a manger, in a stable in Bethlehem. God humbles himself, and becomes a human being in the person of Jesus. And so, as Paul encourages the Philippian Christians to be humble, he tells them to look at the example of the Christmas Jesus. The Christmas Jesus. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. That is the Christmas Jesus. And then Paul says that the humility of Jesus doesn't just stop with the Christmas Jesus. Yes, God empties himself of his glory and becomes a human being. But why does God become a human being? God becomes a human being to die on the cross to save us for our sins. God sees that humanity needs a rescue. And so he dies on the cross so that we can be rescued from the penalty of our sins. The Christmas Jesus leads to the Good Friday Jesus. So then Paul introduces the Good Friday Jesus. And this is what he further says. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. The Good Friday Jesus. So there's the Christmas Jesus. There is the Good Friday Jesus. And Paul does not stop at the Good Friday Jesus. God sees the humble heart of Jesus as he dies. And God raises Jesus from the dead and exalts him. The Christmas Jesus and the Good Friday Jesus leads to the Easter Jesus. The Easter Jesus. And then Paul talks about the Easter Jesus. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, Paul encourages the Philippians to stop fighting with each other, to be humble and show respect to each other. And as he does this, he asks the Philippians to look at the humble Jesus. The Christmas Jesus is that humble Jesus. The Good Friday Jesus is that humble Jesus. But this Good Friday Jesus is raised by God and exalted by God, and he becomes the Easter Jesus. And so God looks after the humble Jesus, the Christmas Jesus and the Good Friday Jesus. And when we become humble and look out for others in our lives, God also looks after us. So we look at Jesus, who gives us an example of humility. And I just want to say one thing, okay, because it is important to get this straight. Sometimes when we become humble, we must be willing to take risks, to forsake things. But I need to stress that being humble does not mean we allow bullies to bully us. To be humble doesn't mean that we become a doormat. Jesus dies on the cross to show us humility, but he also spoke up against religious leaders who tried to bully him and the people. So when we work at being humble, we need to remember that God looks after us the way he looks after the humble Jesus. The Christmas Jesus becomes the Good Friday Jesus and dies on the cross. However, when he dies on the cross, Christ raises him up from the dead and exalts him, and Jesus becomes the Easter Jesus. We're going to end now. And I just want to let you know that most New Testament students say that when Paul uses this example of the Christmas Jesus, the Good Friday Jesus, and the Easter Jesus, he uses a poem or a hymn to illustrate this humble Jesus. And if you read the original New Testament Greek, it will come out like a poem or a hymn. So in closing to this passage, before we go into the reconfirmation of the promises of the scouts, I want us to read this passage again. And bear in mind, it's a poem. It's a hymn to the humble Jesus. And then when you read this together, then you can see how it flows, if you like a hymn or a poem in English. So let's read this poem or hymn of the humble Jesus. Let's read it together. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So these are my parting words to you, and I think these words are very appropriate, not only for scouts, but for the rest of us as church. Be humble. And when you are humble, God looks after you. And I give you these words.